Thank you, Lord. It is such a blessing to know that our Father, our God, wants to partner with us. He wants to be with us. He doesn't just want us to, He doesn't just want us to serve Him, though we should. He doesn't just want us to be used by Him, though we should. No, He wants to love us. It's about relationship to Him. And in those things, when you have relationship, then those things happen. Right? In a good relationship, you serve one another. In a good relationship, we use one another's gifts and talents. In a good relationship, we partner together. But if it's built on those things, you're missing the key element, which is love. Pursuing love is the ultimate call of our life. It is what the Father says, or Jesus says, is our greatest success. Our greatest success is our pursuit of Him and how well we do it. If we're not pursuing Him every single day, we need to reevaluate our schedule. He should be our top priority. Well, Danny, I have other things to do. I'm telling you, you would do Him a whole lot better if you pursued Him first. I can tell you, just on my own, if I pursue God first, I'm a nicer person. We are called to continually pursue Him, and that will cause us to continually learn about us. The more we pursue Him, the more we know who we really are. Our authentic self is found in the love of God. Our authentic self is found in knowing Him and His love. As you go through life, so on the opposite side of that, someone like Paisley, Bo, Emmy, they know nothing different. The filters put on them are a whole lot different than filters put on people who spent a lot of time out of the Word before they came here. But there are things that happened before you came into this house, or into knowing God, not necessarily this house, but into knowing God, that you possibly put filters on yourself. There were things that changed so completely about me, from who I was as a child to who I was as an adult, that it took a long time for me to track back and see how those things got into play and how to even undo them appropriately. Because they were filters placed by hurts, situations, experiences, things that had happened. And they caused lenses and filters that caused me to be very different than the authentic self God created me to be. And so when we go into His love, it's like a shot that causes, I wish I can explain this as clearly as I can see it, but if I were to make a shot, like this was a cave and I made a hole directly like this, and this is either side, this is every filter that was ever placed. But when you go to love and you pursue love, you're able to see so clearly without a single filter in the way. That leads you to your direct self. That leads you to who He called you to be and who you really are. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but following. Thank you, Lord. In Acts 17:28, it says, "In Him we live, move, and have our being." You may say we're alive in Him. God has called this as something specific that He's told me to minister on, is the revealing of our heavenly design and our earthly makeup. Who you are really, and who you're really called to be now. And I think that works on many levels. I fully believe that individually you have something that you were created for that you are to bring to this time right now. But I also believe as a whole, we are called to bring something right now. God created us to be in relationship with people. God created us to be in relationship with the people in this house. God called us to be in relationship closer with some people, further apart. But if we begin to separate those relationships, if we begin to separate those things out, we can't fully achieve what He's called us to do. There are things that I'm called to do that I am unable to accomplish without Amanda. There are things that I'm called to do that I'm unable to accomplish without Shelby. Because we have different giftings placed on the inside of us. We have different things put on the inside of us that when they come together, they make something greater than we could ever do on our own. And so if we just have a body part laying on the floor separated from the rest of the body, one, it's disgusting, but two, it's not going to get any work done. It's totally separated from the blood flow. So it's so important for us to live and move and be together in Him as a full unit moving forward. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So what is your heavenly design? It's His intention, aim, purpose, and plan. The plan He has in His mind for you. What's your makeup? The way in which the parts or ingredients of something are put together. Your physical, mental, and moral standards. So moving your authentic self into your natural body is what I would say. How do I bring out my authentic? It's my new accent. Authentic. New authentic, no. How do I bring out my authentic self into who I'm walking in today in this earth? How do I continue to pull that forward of who He created me to be, both as a believer in the most new creation, general, everyone apply new creation sense, to who has He called me to be authentically as Danielle Schaefer? Government name issued. Full thing. Who has He called you to be? Amen? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading in the Passion Translation, I think from now on, Ronnie, so I'll tell you if that changes at all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Didn't need that. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display, so amazing, of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in Him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. I want you to just grab a hold of that right now. I think that is a lesson for the time is nothing we do can earn our salvation. It's all about who we be. Being, not doing. I think in this generation at this time, we really need to focus more on being and less on doing. Not that we're not called to do, but doing should be a result of being. Amen? So nothing we did could ever earn the salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One, even before we were born. God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Glory to God. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display. The visible display. Just grasping this, that the God of the universe has created you to be the display of Him in this earth. You were created for that purpose. You weren't created just to work for him, just to go to door knock. Yesterday I saw some folks walking around who had on white t-shirts and ties and little name tags. You may know them. And I told Kendall, she made reference to something, and I told Kendall, oh, I saw some walking around. And she goes, how did you know? I said, they had on the uniform. That's how I knew. I knew what they were doing. I spent, the girls went and shopped at the Galleria yesterday. So I spent my afternoon at Starbucks, and I didn't do much people watching, but I did see that. But all the people that I would have seen, the purpose for their life was to be the visible display of the Creator. He is so multifaceted that he can continue to create people every single year. I don't know how many people are born every year, a lot, but he can continue to create people every single year, revealing another facet of who he is. That's amazing. And you were called to be an expression of that, an expression of him. So we're going to hit three parts of this to bring this scripture in a whole. The first one is passion. We were called to be a visible display to him by passion. The passion of the Christ was his love on display for you. It says that there was no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. It was his love on display. We are called to be his love on display. We are called to be his love in this earth. When the Father was describing himself to Moses in Exodus 34, and when David was summarizing this same description in Psalm 103, one of the first words he used was he was merciful. That word merciful isn't just forgive you for everything you do. It was compassion. It was a compassion for his people. It was like a mother carrying a child in the womb. It was the compassion that comes forth from a mother to the child. You've heard a mother's love, and I've never been a father, so I can't identify directly with that. I've experienced the Father's love, but I've never been a daddy. But I know a mother's love is instinctual. It's key to the situation. It's intuition to what's happening and what's the best solution to take to move through that, to get to a greater end. And it's compassionate. It's to love deeply. And so I think in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to roll over there real quick. I think he is beginning to describe this compassion, this love that he has for you in that scripture. I've heard it said, and we actually just talked about on Tuesday, that this very scripture, you could put God in the place of love in all of these places. This is who he is. This is how he thinks about you. This is how he relates to you. And ultimately, when you are in him, this is how you move towards other people. So you're able to receive it in this way so that you can give it in this way. So it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is large, where it says slow to anger, long suffering, which is exactly how Father describes himself, or God describes himself, the Lord describes himself. Let me get to the right word. Love is large and incredibly patient. I'm so grateful for that. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Sorry, got stuck on repeat. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. I think this is something that we need to be very mindful in this time. We need to be very mindful that as truth is coming forward, that we don't lose our viewpoint of love as it comes forth. Amen. Amen. Not getting boastful, but we're celebrating the honesty coming forth, but we're finding no delight. Right? We're finding no delight in their suffering and their pain. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. I think sometimes when people read this, they think it's too hard because they think that it means people interpret love as having to be in your face and your best friend. Sometimes love doesn't operate that way. Love is correction sometimes. Love is sometimes you removing yourself from an equation and creating a boundary before inserting yourself back in if you need to. Love is sometimes saying no. And so sometimes we think that acceptance equals love. Let me rephrase that. Sometimes we think acceptance of behavior equals love. That's a better term. The gospel is encompassing of everyone. Everyone. Regardless of sin, sin has no tally marks. I've not yet seen a system where it says that one type of sin has a greater tally mark than another. My Bible says sin equals death. So we need to recall when we start judging other people and what their sin is, that we aren't losing sight that we've been somewhere once too. And so we don't accept what they're doing. We don't agree with what they're doing. We don't condone what they're doing, but we do show them the love of God. We do have compassion on what's moving and what's happening in that place. Amen. And I think that especially now in these times, it's important for us to remember that. Because emotions can get high very quickly. And the kindness of God brings one to repentance. Not Turner Burn signs. This is who he is. He says, I am compassion. You, as a born-again believer, were created and called to love and operate in the same compassion. Compassion is moved by the distresses, sufferings, wants, and infirmities of others. I think we saw compassion moving this morning, the love of God moving this morning, reaching out to people this morning. That does not mean that you lay down your life and do what every run to every situation and put out every fire. No, that means that you hear the voice of God. Love said, I want to touch these people. That's what love told me how to respond this morning. Love may tell you, hey, give them $20. Love may tell you, hey, give them a hug. Love may tell you, hey, pray for them in secret. Don't mention anything. Hearing and knowing what love is telling you to do to operate towards the situation, but not just putting up a wall and saying, they put themselves there. We are called to be a people who love one another, and we are a visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness. Our destiny is found in Him, and He is love. Our destiny is found in love. We have a passion in that love. There will be things that God calls you possibly more specifically to operate in than other things. There are things that move your heart in a way that God created you that way. You have something that answers the hurt or the distress that's on those people. There's something in you that just speaks directly into that situation and can break it. That's the passion of God that was created in you to work in that situation. Amen? So in that, He created a purpose specifically for you. It says that you are God's masterpiece. They said poetry. Some versions say masterpiece. There was not a detail about you and your makeup that He didn't think of. Every bit of who you are, every bit of your authentic true self was created to glorify God and move His glory in this earth. God's thoughts had already imagined and shaped you from the fullness of your destiny to the very smallest atom that created you. This day was written in your book. There is a book with your name on it. Chris, there's a book with your name on it in heaven. It shows this day. What you're called to do to fulfill your destiny today. Holy Spirit knows what that book says. So if you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do today, Holy Spirit does. Visit with Him. He can tell you exactly where to be, where to go, what to do. Amen? He had already imagined you, and with exquisite skill and creativity, God shaped you through His word. He spoke you into being with intricate detail and skill. Like forming something with His very hands, He used His words. He imagined you in His thoughts. He saw exactly how you were going to be, exactly what it was going to look like, exactly what you were going to do, and created His perfect design of who you were going to be. No detail was too small for God as He prepared to unveil His masterpiece, you. You are part of His fullness. You are part of the fulfillment of the destiny of His Son. And He even took into account, I wrote, this might not be the classy or the eloquent way to say it, but He even took into account your stupid. Every mistake, every mess up, every time that you went rogue and did it your own way, every time that you said, yeah, I know I'm like that and I don't want to fix it, every time that you took up something and said, oh, it's okay, I'll deal with it later, every time you put something off, every time that you stepped off the pathway, He knows the exact way back. He knows the exact way back. Not one of us is too far off track. Not one of us is out of the way too much. He knows exactly how to get you back on track. He knows the exact way to get you right back in line to where you need to be. You have been created in every detail to fulfill the destiny He has given you. You are joined with Jesus for this time, for this day. We have to stop accepting that's just how I am and choose to find ourselves in Him. I think that has become all too common, and I'll even own up myself. There are things where I'm like, I just don't do it that way. No, that's not the answer. If it doesn't align up with that love scripture I just read, I'm doing some wrong. That's on me. It doesn't matter what kind of personality I have. I should be doing it like that. It tells us exactly how people are who walk with Holy Spirit in Psalm 14, I think. Passion Translation, real clear, really good. I recommend it. I'm not going to read it to you today. If you aren't doing those things, that's for you to fix. Not just, well, my personality doesn't work that way. I think that there are things that we can recognize. People are all into those, what are they, idiotgram, is that what you said? Idiotgram? I don't think it's idiotgram. Enneagram? Something like that. So anyways, people are all into, thank you, Dave, are all into personality tests and finding out who they are and finding out what they're like. And I think that can be beneficial if you don't make an excuse. When you find out that there are things that you're not good at, your goal should be finding out ways that you can be better at them. Not focusing on your weakness. No, what can I do? What can I do to improve that? I know this about myself. I am really great at starting things, having ideas, and I'm a decent planner. What I'm not great at is follow through without a plan. I'm extremely inconsistent if I don't have a plan. So to help with these kind of things, for example, the leadership class we had, I said, okay, I'm creating 6 dates and I will be there for those 6 dates because I know if I have them on my calendar, I will do them. That's the person I am. If I would have said, okay, I'm going to do one and then I'll schedule another one later, well, we might have had one leadership class and that would have been the end of it. But I know that about myself, so I have made ways to improve in it. And so where I see those flaws and those issues that I'm having trouble with, it's my job to make sure I know how to work with those things. Not just say, oh, well, I'm just inconsistent. Oh, well, I'm just not good at that. No. God gave you wisdom to know how to work through those things. It's things that you have to make an effort to live like God. Personality flaws are not what define us and not an excuse to operate out of love. We have been delivered from darkness and more is available to us to now work fully in the light. Amen? We get so concerned with preserving us, we act before we allow love to move. Self-preservation is, it's a dangerous game. And it's something that will, Marty, Kylie, praise the Lord. We see, Peter move in self-preservation in the Garden of Gethsemane. He slices off this guy's ear. Why? I guess he thought he was going to save himself. I'm not really sure. You can't hear, no fighting now. And Jesus looks at him and says, what are you doing, man? I could have 12 legions of angels in an instant if I wanted them. What do you think that you are doing? And if we look at the map that's in the Old Testament, we're talking, and one angel can kill 185,000 people. So you can cut off an ear, good job, and my one angel can cut off 185,000. So that means the 72,000 angels, because that's how many 12 legions are, 72,000 angels could kill 3,320,000,000 people. Something like that. But cut off the ear? How often do we do that in our lives? How often do we operate in self-preservation and we're like, oh, we'll fix it like this? But God's plan is so much greater. Love works in such a greater abundance. So not only did he not call on those people, instead, love operated so powerfully he could have, but saved you instead. If we would stop with self-preservation, how many people could we help? How many lives could we operate in? It's quiet in the church. We must be continually nourished by His love to operate in the fullness of His call on our lives. The fully manifested plan, the glory. It says, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So number three is plan. Number one, passion. Number two, purpose. Number three, plan. He had you in mind for the finish that is coming. The glory of God to fill the whole earth, He had you in mind for that. The filling of it, of the entire earth, He had you in mind. The manifestation of His glory is the manifestation of who He is. We're not called as a people to generate a move of God. We are called as a people to join the Anointed One in the move He's already established. He is doing something in this earth. He is moving. He has already moved. We have to join in what He's doing. Stop operating individually apart from what He's doing. Stop seeing ourselves as a broken vessel. Stop seeing ourselves as not being able. Stop seeing ourselves through the eyes of self-preservation. Well, I just need to get through. Not seeing ourselves as limited in any way, but moving in the plan that He has already moving in your life. Amen? This is a generational move that requires participation from every generation. It's a move that requires longevity. It's a move that requires every person in this room to participate. Every single generation, from I believe Addie's probably the youngest in the room, to I think Ms. Gladys is the wisest in the room. There are no expired versions. Not one of your day has ended. Not one of you has stopped being crucial to the plan. With Mordecai and Esther, both were for such a time as this. Esther was the one required to go into the king to speak. But if Mordecai hadn't prompted her with his wisdom and his understanding of what would happen, this wasn't Mordecai's first rodeo. Mordecai was building with Nehemiah. He knew the potential and the possibility. He had seen something before. We can't put off and set aside the things that the wisdoms and the anointings and the growth and the increase that has come from people who have went before us. We're to partner with those things as one full people moving together. Not shrugging off the new coming in, but also not pushing off the older generations either. Both are crucial to the movement of God that's happening right now. This is from generation to generation. The older, wiser generation, God has called you to have the increase or to increase in the anointings present. Brother Copeland said that he was asked to do 120 years because every year he was growing in anointing. The anointing of God never changes, it only increases. God's kingdom generates according to the principle of endless increase. And young people fail when they refuse to use the wisdom of their mothers and fathers in the Lord. Temptation is always present to want to be somebody, and it is the wisdom of those stronger in faith to teach you and send you when it's time. When you leave your spiritual covering, you make yourself an enemy. We need to stop looking at being used as much as we need to more put our focus on pursuing love. When we pursue love, we see it operating in the earth. When we pursue love, we see him moving. And also, it will help prevent burnout. And it will help prevent a falling off if you're not being, quote unquote, used for a season. Because you're no longer finding yourself in what you do. You're finding yourself in who you are and who you are. The generation above you has done things to the younger folk. The generation above you has done things and experienced things, seen things, witnessed things, built revelation in things that are necessary for us to puzzle it together. If you're only looking at the 10 pieces you've been given to make a puzzle, you can't see the full picture of what's happening if you're not taking everyone else into account and what's already happened. So it's important for us to be looking at the big picture. Every piece, every part required and necessary for the fullness of the move that is taking place right now. Amen? You are part of the passion, purpose, and plan of Christ. Now is not the time to slow down or let up on the gas. There are things that have felt a little sludgy. Attacks have happened. Personality flaws are being identified. This is not a reason to slow down. When you're driving in the snow and you are a foot deep in a 200SX Nissan, which is like the smallest car you've ever seen, you don't let off the gas or you're getting stuck. If you want to know how to drive in the snow, that's the answer. Just don't let go of the gas. If you don't let go of the gas, you're going to make it through. Just keep moving forward. But the moment momentum stops, you sink and you're stuck. We aren't sinking. We aren't getting stuck. We're moving ahead. We are in the move. We are multi-generational. We are moving from the youngest to the oldest, going forward into everything God has for us. Seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Seeing the glory of God manifest in this house. Seeing lives being changed. Seeing relationships being restored. Seeing the movement of our children coming into the things of God like never before. Seeing those who have our grandparents coming into the things of God like never before. Seeing people jump up and do something for God. Be the visible display of God in this earth like we've been called to be. Not just to let another day go by and another box checked off the advent calendar. We're a little bit closer to Santa coming. No. It's the last month of the year. Do something with it. Don't just wait for 2023 to show up. Do something with it. Take the time to pursue this month like you would if it were January. If you're just waiting for January to come, you're going to be too late. It's time to start today. It's time to move today. It's time to jump in today. It's time to move with passion today. It's time to step greater into your purpose than you ever have before today. And it's time to pursue love and his plan greater than you have ever before. Amen? Your future is calling you, and we run into it by pursuing love and passion, purpose, and his plan. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that it is seated in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that today we make a quality decision to move further and deeper into the things of God. We thank you, Lord, that you are pricking the hearts of your people, that anyone who has been slow and sluggish, who has been lacking in any way, anyone who's allowed things to bog them down or bottleneck them, anything that has caused them to not move forward in the expectancy and the greatness that you have for them. Father, I say those things are lit up and open today. I thank you, Lord, that your love is working in their hearts, that they are moving forward with all that you have in them today. And we thank you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You have anything before we...